In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, I will stand by my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. This morning, I want us to consider that phrase, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by his faith. Before we get into the lesson, again, I want to welcome everyone. We're most of the way through January. Hopefully the weather will hold off for us this week, and we'll just continue being able to do the things that we need to do. It's always a little more challenging in January with the snow and the cold. The just shall live by faith. Do we believe that? We sing a song, Living by Faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Though tempests may blow, and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith, yes, living by faith, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. It's easy to sing. Sometimes it's harder to do. When we think of this phrase, the just shall live by faith, we usually, I would say, don't think back to the Old Testament, to the book of Habakkuk, but it is quoted in the New Testament, and that's what we're going to be looking at. Before we look at those verses, we need to define some terms. What does just mean? Well, the original Greek words are the same as those when rendered righteousness. Righteousness, judgment. Righteousness is the state of him who is such as he ought to be. We are right. We are right with God. We are just. When we talk about faith, faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. It's trust, trustworthiness, fidelity. Faith is a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation or truth. It's a personal surrender to God. It's a conduct inspired by such a surrender. The object of Abraham's faith was not God's promise. That was the occasion of the exercise. His faith rested on God himself. Friends, we need to have the faith that rests on God himself. And then it doesn't matter, as the words to that song that I just read, when we have our faith rested on God himself, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. But notice the word faith, the just shall live by faith. Faith is singular. In Acts 6 and verse 7, then the word of the Lord, the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. People today talk about different faiths. Well, what faith are you? What do you believe? Faith is singular. They were obedient to the faith. There's just one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the faith. And that faith is worth fighting for. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We're to contend for the faith. We are to contend for this assurance of God, this reliance on God. You see, people today, it's you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe. There's so many different faiths. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches there is one faith, and we are to contend for it. And that faith was once for all delivered to the saints. Once for all times. There's no revelation that we are getting today. The faith, singular, was delivered once for all time, and we are to contend for it. But then people say, but faith is all you need to have to be saved. Well, what about being saved by faith? Many churches say that your faith will save you. And they'll go to a passage such as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And they'll say, see, right there it says we're saved by grace, and we're saved by faith, and it's a gift, and we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do one thing, just believe. And God's grace is going to save us. Well, again, we aren't looking at the Bible unless we look at everything that the Bible says on a subject. So when Paul was writing this to the Ephesians, we need to go back and see a little bit of the background on the Ephesians. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We want to read about the church at Ephesus. We go back to Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. So Luke is recounting what happens. Paul comes to Ephesus. He finds some disciples. And what does Paul start doing? He starts preaching Christ. And when Paul preached Christ to the Ephesians, what happened? We drop down to verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When they say they're saved by faith only, they overlook the verse that they were baptized. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Paul, writing to them, says, by grace you have been saved through faith. His reference to salvation in the past perfect tense as something done and already accomplished has no reference to the final destiny, but to the primary obedience that makes a true child of God. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we're saved. We are saved at that point. We are saved by faith. We're saved by the grace of God. We are saved. But that doesn't guarantee that 50, 60 years later we're going to be saved. That is no guarantee, because our salvation depends on the faith that we have and how we live our life. Faith in the biblical sense means faithfulness, integrity, perseverance, fidelity. Here, faithfulness as well as faith is in view. It's generally agreed that Paul, in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10, referred to the Septuagint version. And in that passage, it is rendered, the just shall live by my faith. By my faith. Again, that faith in God. That faith knowing that he exists. A clear reference not to the inward act of believing on the part of God's servant, but to the faith or the religion that God had established. The passage in Habakkuk makes it certain that Paul referred to the same thing. Faith, as used by the apostle, might be also rendered Christianity, the holy religion of Christ. That's why Paul's key reference to obedience of faith, stands both at the beginning and the end of Romans. The faith. Paul's reference to this passage shows that he was referring to exactly the same thing, namely fidelity, faithfulness. To try to make up an example, a man and a woman get married. They get married. They're faithful to each other. Does that mean 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, they're going to be faithful to each other? No. And you can see that in our culture. So many people, they get married, they're faithful for a time, and then they become unfaithful. Faithfulness is a more accurate translation than faith in the Hebrew in this passage. In Habakkuk, the words mean the righteous survives if he is faithful. We want to survive. We might add that that is exactly what being justified by faith means throughout the New Testament. As the Apostle John wrote, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." So when we are saved by faith, when we're baptized, that doesn't guarantee that we're going to be saved when we die. We have to be faithful. Faithful unto death. The righteous survives if he is faithful. The false doctrine that any kind of a so-called experience in the believer's heart provides a shortcut to salvation by faith only, that's a deadly delusion. And so many people are going to lose their souls because some man, some woman stood up and said, "All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is have faith." Friends, that is not all we got to do. So we looked at the passage in Habakkuk. Let's look at some passages where it's used in the New Testament. These we are more familiar with, but again, they all go back to what the prophet uttered in the Old Testament. Romans 1:17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So again, whenever you see "as it is written," where was it written? In the Old Testament. Paul is referring back to what Habakkuk said, "the just shall live by faith." And again, when you look at Romans 1:17, I don't like to look at that without looking at the verses before that. In verse 14, he says he's a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians. He's a debtor to preach the gospel. In verse 15, he says, "I'm ready to preach the gospel." In verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel." And then in verse 17, he says, "For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Since the righteous shall live by faith, without faith, none of us will live. We have to have faith to live. We have to have faith to survive. Truth does not mold the character of a man unless it is practiced. I can take this book, If I could memorize it and had it all in my head, that's not going to change me. It's not going to change me until I practice what I read. Until I have that faith, I put that faith into action. To see a truth, to believe a truth, does not mold the character unless it changes the purpose and the life. So faith apart from works is dead. Faith fits for the blessings of God by leading us to follow in God's ways. Just like Abraham, he had faith in God. We'll look at him a little bit later. God's leading us to follow God in his ways, and so makes our character like God's character. So faith leads us from one stage or degree of faith to another and another and another. Faith always keeps leading us up higher and higher. We're challenged to do more and more. We are challenged to put more and more faith in God. That's why there are so many warnings in the Bible. We can't just accept where we are. We must press on. We must strive. We must add to our faith. We must, like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. We must grow. And as we grow, our faith grows. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here Paul again talks about living by faith. Living by faith. When he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by faith. We must have the faith in what God says, and we must carry it out. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We see over and over that we must have faith. We put our faith and trust in God. And if we want to survive, if we want to make it through this life, we must put our faith and trust in God. And each time that he tries us, it's going to be a little harder than the time before. And somebody will say, well, I don't like that. I don't want to be tried. I don't want to have to suffer. But friends, we have Christ as the ultimate example that gave up everything and came and suffered and died for us. But when we look at this phrase, the just shall live by faith, from Habakkuk 2, in the New Testament then we see it in Romans 1:17, Galatians 2:20, Galatians 3:10-12, and Hebrews 10:38. So do we have any examples of people living by faith? Yes, we do. So we don't have to wonder, what does this mean, living by faith? Is it just mental assent? We don't have to wonder. We have a whole chapter full of examples. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did Abel get that faith? We know from Paul writing to the Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, God has revealed to us. We don't know anything except what God has revealed to us. And God has revealed to us those things that pertain to life and godliness. Abel knew what to do, and he knew because it was by faith. It had been revealed to him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we say we want to please God, we want to have faith. We got to understand our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, what if there is no reward for obeying God? Should we obey God? Yes, we should. What if there is no heaven after this life? Should we obey God? Yes, we should, because he's God. If we don't understand who God is, we are lost. We are never going to change our lives. And once we understand who God is, we should be like all of those characters in the Old Testament, the New Testament. When they understood who God was, when they understood who Jesus was, what did they do? They fell down to worship him, because he is worthy of worship. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Did that take some work? That took a lot of work. You think of the size of that structure. You think of the number of years it took to build it. You think of all the ridicule he took by people. There's that preacher saying that God is going to destroy everybody. It took a lot of faith, but he kept working year after year after year. Had he seen rain before? He'd never seen rain. But he had faith in God that what God said was going to happen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. How much is our faith? You know, sometimes we might enter into some kind of arrangement, and before we enter in, we want to know all the details. What's going to happen here, 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 all the way on down the line. We might do that with a job. You know, if I work, what's the pay going to be? What are my benefits? What's the insurance? We want to know. With God, when God tells us to do something, what do? Do we sit down and cross our arms and say, God, I'm not going to do this till I know what's in it for me? We better not do that. We need to have faith. And when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Friends, are we waiting for that city? Are we looking forward to it? Do we have faith? Are we, even though we don't see it, are we doing what we should be doing every day by faith, working for that assurance that God has given? By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So the writer is saying, you've got these two old people that nobody would think that they could have children because they were past childbearing age. And they had so many descendants, you can't even count them. All of their descendants, because they had faith in God, all of their descendants are more than the sand on the seashore, more than the stars in heaven. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Friends, I was taught you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You do the right thing no matter what the consequences are. You see people today, well, I'll do the right thing if. I'll do the right thing if I get this or that. Friends, we just do the right thing because God said to do it. That's our faith. And when we do our part, then we can trust in God. We can have faith that he's going to do his part. The just shall live by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received up the promises offered up his only begotten son. This man who was past having children, his wife was past having children, he has a child, and then what does God tell him? Offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Did Abraham hesitate? Did he stammer? Did he think, well, why would I do that? It says he rose up early in the morning and he went up to that mountain to do what God said. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, mentioned of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. What was the king's command? The king wanted all the babies put to death. But his parents had faith. And where do a lot of the people in the Bible, where did their faith originate from? Their parents, their grandparents. And again, if our faith isn't demonstrated, someone else isn't going to see the faith in us. Someone else isn't going to be motivated to be a Christian or to follow Christ. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. All of that stuff that he could see right in front of him, all the power, all the gold, anything he wanted was right in front of him. He didn't look at that. He looked to the unseen. He looked to those things that were out in the future, those things that were waiting for him. Friends, that's what we got to do. We got to have our eyes out there. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they all passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. What if you were one of the Israelites? You came to the Red Sea. You see the waters parted. You see these walls of water on both sides, waters as far as you can see. And you're told, now walk on down through there. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be anxious? Or would you think, what if I start out there and that water comes back and drowns me? I've never seen waters part like that. You see, they had faith. They had faith. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. The Egyptians were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And then I've got to ask myself, you have to ask yourself, what's my faith like? What am I willing to do? What am I willing to step out and do? What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How'd they do this? By faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So you stop and think about that. All the Christians that died when we talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, and some were taken for sport to be fed to the lions or to be used to set on fire and light the streets at night. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They said, bow down and say that Caesar is king or we're going to kill you. And they'd say, Christ is my king. And they were put to death. But they obtained something better. They obtained something better. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They died in whatever situation they were, and they would receive what was waiting for them as their reward. They didn't say, give it to me now. They lived by faith. They walked by faith. That we walk by his faith. Well, that brings up the question, what can stop us from living by faith? Paul writing in Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is able to separate me from my faith? Nothing out there. Nothing can separate me from my faith in God. But we see people lose their faith. How do they do that? They choose to stop following God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They choose to stop following the Bible pattern. They choose to lead their own life. And when you look at this list, you look at that list in Hebrews 11, all the great things that people did, I'm persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, any other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God. Those are huge things. Those are really big things. And he's saying, those can't separate you. But what separates people today? It's usually a whole lot less than this. Maybe it's a bottle. They got to have their beer, they got to have their wine, they got to have their whiskey. That bottle separates them from God. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe they play the lotto, they bet on sports, whatever people bet on today. You can find people that'll bet on anything. I shouldn't grin when I say that, it's sad, but I've been around guys that would bet on anything. What time is that thing going to fall down and hit the floor? And they make bets. People will sell their soul for a few minutes of pleasure with somebody else. People will sell their souls for lying to someone. People will sell their souls for taking something that's not theirs. You see, it's our choice. We choose God. Satan wants to confuse us. Satan wants to distract us, as we were talking about. We're the only ones that can stop ourselves by living by faith. And if I don't make it to heaven, you know who I have to blame? Myself. I can't blame anybody else. We've got to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall survive by his faith. Friends, what is your faith like? Is your faith enough that it will keep you protected, that it will take you home to heaven? Are you troubled with something, struggling with something? Do you need prayers? If anyone needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.